Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, GAA.
They say in person he's actually quite nice and you enjoy his company and all that. That's not the same thing as sort of being able to project a political persona, I guess, you know?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Colm and Arthur, good morning to you both.
Hello.
What's going on?
Loads. Good times are back for Irish football. So, you might have missed this amidst the other budgetary concerns in your life yesterday. The working man is affected, of course. PAYE workers get nothing, by all accounts. But McDonald's are flying it. The decision by the government to allocate €3 million on yesterday's budget for the development of the League of Ireland Academies has been called an important milestone for the future of Irish football. This is actually a caveat that we didn't get to hear before the show started in our own meeting. The FAI already received just under €6 million per annum from public funding as part of a memorandum of understanding. However, the money announced in the budget will be ring-fenced and will be allocated by Sport Ireland to give the football industry in this country a much-needed kickstart. So that's what we'll be talking with Daniel Lambert about, what we were chatting about beforehand, and maybe you are out there too, is what it specifically means for the development of Irish football. It sounds great. It sounds great for the development of academies across the country to really create a proper industry here that people can work full-time in. That would be a utopia. Or maybe it would be to actually have an All-Ireland series where counties play each other. That would be Irish football working to rival Gaelic football and hurling. That would be the final destination for me.
I mean, Cork
against Limerick in the All Ireland semi-final, for example. The problem there would be the old Dublin dominance. Then they actually really would need to be split in two. But it's promising. They wanted €4.45 million, but they seem really to be satisfied with €3 million. So it's €3 million for 2 years. So they, you know, they set up €4.45 million per year, and it's pre-budget submission, which would rise to €8 million per annum for 5 years from 2028. In that vision, 81 new full-time jobs would be created in the immediate term, with the number of full-time and part-time roles increasing to 340 by the end of the decade. The figure of €3 million for 2026 should allow for the provision of over 50 positions around the country. So people should be getting jobs from this, which is great. At a time when the FA were letting people go a lot in the last year as well, a lot of redundancy packages, it seemed like it was particularly grim. This seems like a little shot in the arm days out before we get tortured by Portugal. When I see these things, it's kind of, well, it's great. Like, mildly cynical. We'll see what happens here, see if this actually makes a difference. And of course, we won't really know if this makes a discernible difference for many years. But we'll switch to the ideal world outcome here, in that there's actually proper development of academies. Whatever academies mean. I always imagine academies as a physical building away from the main club where you develop talents. But I think this just literally means proper coaching of young people.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't answer the facilities thing just yet. But
no.
That's one step at a time, I suppose.
Yeah. And I think I've mentioned a few times on the show before, a good buddy of mine, a coach in Cork, was involved in Cork City, and his immense frustration of not being able to get a full-time job in this country, even though the work is put in for it, like the dedication, the presentations required, the statistics gathered. It is a full-time job and all but money. And we say that about the GAA all the time as well these days, and inter-county players. But for this, it's actually feasible for it to work, but it doesn't. Maybe this will help.
Yeah, it's a big boost. Like it's got to be. It's got to be a positive. It's nice to have a positive story around Irish football in that regard, as you said, especially for the week that's in it.
Yeah.
Although maybe this will be an inspiration. Maybe there's a sudden shot in the arm for these guys.
the kids of these players.
10-12 years from now.
It would be great to just like dedicate a half an hour in this world where we have a football industry and what that would be like. And people working in it. And having these actual buildings and infrastructure to make it work. Because, you know, we're a wealthy country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose Nathan's been talking about this on the football show a good bit over the last couple of years. I guess Mark Scanlon's been talking about it a good bit. And Will Clark was on last night with Owen going into detail on how it's going to work and the checks and balances that have been put in place. I think this is one of those fairly typical stories where there is suspicion of the FAI out there and for historic reasons, and maybe they didn't help themselves recently with the Oireachtas, but the puffed up self-regarding Oireachtas, you know. Anyway, they managed to get over themselves and give some money to the FAI, all of which is going to be perfectly audited, all of which is totally ring-fenced, all of which is coming through Sport Ireland, and part of the funding will go centrally to the FAI to make sure that the central database I think it's 16%. This is a detail in John Fallon's piece. To make sure that everybody knows exactly where the money is going. 19% will be centralised into the FAI for technology and auditing. Split between the 26 academies, it's going to roughly be about 100 grand for each of the academies, which may provide two full-time in the short term, and it's way short of actually what they need. They need about 8 million a year to try and close the gap on the those who are ranked ahead of us. And so all of the academy systems in the world are ranked by FIFA, and that was the survey that was done, the audit that was done by the Belgians. I don't know if you remember, they came into studio as well with Nathan whenever that was released in August. So this has kind of been signposted since then that the government were going to give some money, but you wouldn't say they were particularly generous. And at the same time, loads of other sports who didn't have to go through all the same ringer that the football has to go through managed to get funding for their pet projects as well. So I don't know. I think, I suppose, you can definitely be glass half full about this. The fact is that it is multi-annual. And once it's multi-annual, you just need somebody in government to recognise that there's a big opportunity here and that the money can go up. And because it's there now, it will become something hopefully that grows into the future. But you could also be a little bit like, after all of the effort and energy that was put in, there's still, it's a piffling 100 grand per academy, which isn't exactly going to close the gap on all of the other countries who are ranked ahead of us. Because the stats make pretty stark reading. 46% of League of Ireland clubs have a full-time academy director compared to 60% of clubs in FIFA countries ranked 51 to 100. So it's not like we're looking to compare ourselves with the top 10 countries in the world. 4% of League of Ireland clubs have a full-time head of coaching compared to 46% of clubs in countries ranked 51 to 100. 0% of League of Ireland clubs have a minimum of 4 full-time academy coaches compared to 36% of clubs in the FIFA countries ranked 51 to 100. So even if we're just benchmarking ourselves against the countries ranked 50 to 100, we're way behind. This will begin to close the gap and give us an opportunity to do it. But anyway.
Mad that it's come to that. It's such stark reading for a sport that's so important and popular here.
Why do you think that is?
I suppose gross mismanagement. I guess, like, it can only be that, can it? Like, it's not for a lack of interest. Like, I'd say there's probably, we were talking about it beforehand, you're with David Reed. There's probably not many children in the country with an interest in sport that don't play football at some point or other. In some sort of organised fashion. Maybe they don't stick with it, they go whatever else, but like, it's almost always the unifier between all people. That like everyone kind of feels they can, it's like such an immense talking point. You know, like straight away, like it's always something that people have an opinion on or have kind of thoughts on or some sort of passion towards, and it's just kind of stark. I knew it was bad, but like when you see it's that bad, it's like just so second rate.
Because it's been chronically underfunded.
Yeah, but I suppose that comes down to whatever. Like, that's not, I don't like, like with all these things, it's I suppose, you got to work the system, don't you? You have to be smart about, like, I suppose, GA is always held up as a counterpoint or whatever, like, but it's, if you're effective at kind of bringing that money to your own organisation, then that's, I suppose, more power to you. Like, if you've I wouldn't necessarily be. It's hard to know. I don't know.
Is it an Irish psyche thing that the pressure's off with GAA because it's amateur, the pressure's off at rugby because it's a small sport globally, but soccer's everywhere, and I don't know. We don't ever seem to dedicate the people to it. I've never really felt it's been taken really that seriously.
Maybe it's because we've exported talent traditionally. We've not had to develop players.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose for historically, like I guess that might come into it. That is probably taken off the ball a wee bit. They've never been in a position where, you know, guys leave.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
I think it's really strong at the top level, because I'd say all of us have encountered growing up, it was like there's great coaches out there and there's great players. Like I'm doing a piece today with Keith Tracy in Belvedere FC, where he came through. They have an outrageous number of Irish internationals that have come through that club, well known for it, like,
yeah.
In terms of how they develop. Now that is not luck, because you go through the names and it's not a who's who, but it is the likes of Wes Houlihan and Troy Parrott, and from earlier days, Curtis Fleming and Mark Kennedy all came through Belvo. So obviously they're doing something right, rather than it's potluck that there happened to be in an area of Dublin where there's loads of footballers. So logistically, you're going to pluck some talent. It's like, no, this is actually a conscious effort to develop young footballers. So it is there, but it's just so imbalanced about where it's done well or not. Like, we were having a debate beforehand about, well, this could be great if it all works out for Dublin soccer, but what about outside of it? You know, how are you going to attract full-time coaches elsewhere across the country, from logistics alone, from expertise as well. But I don't know. I think we've there's loads of theories I have for, because no one actually has an answer for this about why it's never really been governed very well, sustainably. It's like, I don't know, because it's like English football is across the road. The idea is always get over to England. That's the big goal here. Get over there and make a career for yourself. And if you look at the great Irish teams and players throughout the years, you're talking like, you're plucking like a great player from down there and a great player from over here. It's great that a generation came through, but there was no real long-term plan. If you go back to like the 2002 World Cup, it was looking pretty good. You've went from there back to 1988, it was like, Jesus, this is going well, like we're actually really competing here. And it'll be a great study in time what happened between 2002 right up to now, because you can count 2012 and 2016 getting to those competitions. The short answer would be two words. People would say John Delaney, but it did seem to be a real fall off in the way it was organised from that point on. And we're struggling with it now, and we could struggle with it for generations to come. And I feel like there's a slight bit of apathy towards that too.
I don't.
Well, we'll get our football from elsewhere.
Apathy from who though? Like,
to try and fix it.
From who?
I think I don't know if there's a great will in the general public. There's a hope that it will be fixed, but the fact that it hasn't been for like 20 years hasn't been any real good in the way it's run this country. There's obviously loads of exceptions. We'll talk to one soon, but it hasn't really been fixed in how it's run properly. But people kind of get on with it as a result. That it's just something that you complain about and move on. I don't know. There's the hope there, but I don't think there's any expectation that suddenly we're going to have this really good football industry in the country because of this money.
Yeah.
Nothing's sudden. Like, I think everybody accepts that nothing's sudden. There's like a million different things that have to happen around. The facilities need to happen. The coaching needs to happen. But there's actually, like, as we've seen from the League of Ireland over the last number of years, loads of very talented administrators working there. And it looks like the generation of people who are rising in the FAI at the moment are also very talented when it comes to their ability to manage these things and to have a vision and to build alliances and just be very talented. I fundamentally think there's been... you're going to Belvedere today. It'd be interesting to compare and contrast how much money Belvedere have gotten from the government through grants versus similar GAA clubs or rugby around the same area, and compare and contrast that over the last 30 years since the funding for sport started to come in. I think I wouldn't be terribly surprised to find that they've had less funding than those clubs, because football is traditionally a working class sport, and it's easier for middle class organisations to navigate the difficult ways to raise money from the government. It's a lot of forms being filled in. There's a lot of legal documents to be done. And a lot of small football clubs don't actually have the ability to do that because they're putting that out. But there's always somebody in a GAA club or a rugby school who understands, oh, actually, yeah, I know how to do this. And that's it, people go, oh, you're throwing shade on them. It's the opposite. It's like, fair play to those organisations for having that. But somebody needed to step in and go, actually, you know what, this sport's really important to us and we're going to fund it and we're going to teach you how to play the game here. But that hasn't happened. And over a period of time, if you're looking at this gleaming edifice of facilities, kids and parents get drawn to that. So it becomes self-perpetuating. That's my theory. And I think it holds a lot of water, to be honest. And hopefully this is the start of the funding in the academies, meaning that everybody's going to get good quality coaching from fully qualified professionals, and then a pipeline of good coaches comes through, and suddenly this becomes a bit self-perpetuating.
Be interesting to see how those sports, I suppose particularly GAA, hit back in terms of, like, say it got to a position where it was of a similar caliber. And there's probably countless GA or countless people who have veered towards a career or whatever else in GA because the football alternative was unsustainable, or like it required great travelling or whatever else. It would be really interesting if that was got in order and it was made more accessible, and you see players starting to drift. Maybe it's not so great that it gets noticed. But it is interesting at a time, I suppose, when so many GA clubs are struggling for numbers, that if even a percentage of players, especially rural clubs, even a percentage of players were started taking back, because like rugby's a non-entity in most places in the country. But soccer, if it was to get its house in order in that regard, would pose a serious threat.
Yeah, it's just such a mammoth task to get it to the order. Like, so GA, they're world class. Rugby, the world class. But there was a time when that wasn't the case in rugby, so they did get their house in order to an extent. But you are talking, going back to a class issue there as well, and maybe they were able to do that in rugby. But like, you're going back to the dark days of the 90s in Ireland, regularly getting hammered. So what did they do to turn it around, to develop Ireland into, you know, officially the best team in the world in recent years? How has that happened? And it's obviously not a straight comparative thing that you can use in soccer. But rugby was dramatically improved.
How?
The performance of Ireland.
How?
Yeah. You have the answer.
What do you think the answer is?
Well, I wouldn't instinctively just say, well, like Leinster got their act together.
But money. It was money. Money is the answer.
It was a good narrow focus on it though as well. There was such a clear pathway. If you were a decent player, how exactly you could mark out exactly how your career should go, and you can't leave the country.
Sorry, the academy system is the schools which had an injection of funding. In that case, not just private funding, but also public funding. But they're getting world-class coaching as 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds, hot-housed, 4 or 5 sessions a week. And the throughput of talent is, we're now closing the gap on South Africa and New Zealand. We were never the best team in the world, so whatever about the rankings, okay, fine. But I just want to, like, the answer to that is the money put into the academies had an immediate long-term benefit. Like, it's money.
Yeah, but I don't think you can overlook the structures, though. You can throw as much money as you want into it. Like, if it's not very clear and kind of, it's a very clear system. So all those, like, how many of the people in the Irish team came through the exact same way?
The vast majority of them.
So that's a kind of that simplicity of plan is which is I don't think you can do that in football.
Is it? Sorry, I think is that not exactly what happens in kids go into an academy, they make it to their first team, and then they're full time professionals.
But I suppose if you may, like the rugby thing is that the first team is one of four professional teams. It's a very small thing, you know. And then if you're not good enough, you'll either fall away from the sport or leave. But like, it's just such a strangely. It's almost everything in that rugby thing is built, I suppose, towards the national team, whereas that can't be the case here because
everything is built towards providing full time people who are getting good quality coaching who will then get it's just a pyramid, just a different size pyramid. That's all.
Yeah, look, it'd be interesting. I don't know if you can do that if you could map that onto football so straightforward.
What I think
it's just so much bigger. There's so many more options.
Sure, but I think like what you're mapping on is invest in kids and coaching and contact hours, and the output is that you'll get full time professionals. Whether or not they end up closing the gap in the best team in the world is irrelevant. It's like what you're saying is they will be full time professionals, and that's just a rising tide that makes the League of Ireland better. And you get three teams into the group stage, and then you get four teams into the group stage, and then you get one team into the Europa League, and then the second team into the Europa League, and it's all off the back of 15-year-olds now in 7 years' time who have 4, 5, 6 coaching sessions a week. That's all this is about. That's where you like, here's a template, here's the, okay, and like,
yeah, fingers crossed. Like it would be great if it,
but you won't do it for 3 million. Is the problem?
No, you won't. Government, of course,
like,
no.
The government like, oh, jeez, we have to do this now because everybody's talking about it. I tell you what we'll do. We'll make them beg for it.
It's just like, it's unfortunate that they're up against who they're up against. Because it's like, it's so funny. Like, if you think about like the way the GAA obviously has a monopoly on volunteerism as a term. But sure, like, all the football you had to play growing up, like, it's nothing but volunteers. No one's making money. But they've just got a monopoly on that idea. And it's very hard then to supersede that and kind of become the most important thing in the minds of people. That it's like, I think that probably works both ways. Like, the riches and stuff are so tantalising if you're to make it. But like, football just gets tired with that same brush as if, because even Dean Brennan talking about it yesterday, like, it's like the idea of money in the game is like, it's so small. Whereas most of these guys are just kind of, it's a proper struggle. But fingers crossed. I know 3 million is nothing, but sure, it's better than nothing. It's better than nothing, literally.
If the answer is money for the rugby development, where did that come from?
From the schools. So there's rugby, like, you know, rugby didn't start in the 80s and 90s. It had a long tradition of wealthy people playing. And then the game went professional. And when the game went professional, the IRFU were also relatively rich in that they owned Lansdowne Road. So there's a kind of coalescence here of like, the game goes professional, it gets relatively well organised. It's kind of fluky that they have only four professional teams to pay because, you know, at one stage our best players were going over to play for London Irish and somebody else was paying them. And then the national team, as part of the Six Nations, were generating reasonable money off sponsorship and broadcasting rights, which were, again, you know, early professional era, not hugely financially successful. But then the Schools Cup, everybody's like, oh, this is really important. And an arms race starts and people start investing at local level. So the parents of South County Dublin have paid for large parts of the rugby revolution that's happened. Their facilities, like, I'd be interested to see somebody from UEFA or FIFA categorise their facilities. Like, would they be what category academy they would be in?
So going back to the start there, the era of professionalism, it's good timing for Ireland with the IRFU already having money, owning Lansdowne Road. So if the equipment had happened in football and money arrived, if they'd used it wisely, could we be living in a football industry in this country now? You know, I'm trying to analyse the moment that it went wrong for Irish football, or more to the point, did it ever start going right? and we were just hiding behind these players that we were developing that we no longer are.
I mean, look, if you want another real moment that it went wrong, it's when RTÉ decided to put on English football instead of Irish football back in the 50s on
so
TV.
You're getting somewhere like there straight away, because that is huge in this country, is we had, following of a league that isn't here.
That's not a problem. I don't know if that's a problem.
I don't think that stops people.
It certainly doesn't stop people playing football.
No, it's playing away, but we're talking about an industry here, aren't we? We're talking about making this sustainable, make it a living for people. With rugby, there was, it just felt, the barriers weren't there.
Do you want to go back even further? Like, it's the identification of the GAA as the one true sport that represents the nationalist ideal of the country, and football as a foreign sport. And they never quite recover from that. All the way up to Brady being kicked out of school. Like, is this... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean...
But that's hard, though, because it's not... we've had that discussion before. Is it not just the case of just the broadening out of where the Premier League and by extension English football finds its players? So where before you had like players of a certain level were almost definitely guaranteed to go at 15, 16, get professional coaching from that age on.
There could be Irish players just as good as those players in 4 years, but they won't be found now because there's a global scouting network.
Yeah.
But the industry itself was in the same state.
We probably never needed it.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Well, there's no reason for us not to have a Scottish or Welsh professional pyramid, like, because they're leagues that would have been suppressed even more. Now, obviously, the Welsh just decided to join up, even more than we would have been. But I guess our best players have always gone over, but loads of them would have stayed. There would have been a mix of players, and then it goes one way versus the other. And again, I don't think it was a working class sport. It didn't register on the political spectrum, whereas you had politicians and the bishops throwing in the ball at the start of the All-Ireland final, even though De Valera was a rugby man.
Yeah. But I suppose there's always been swathes of the country, though, that the League of Ireland hasn't touched. And that's a big issue. You have county teams everywhere.
It was,
have that's like it's always been a very eastern focused kind of coastal. League.
The coastal elites. Yeah.
No. I mean, on both coasts, on whatever side you want to go, it's very difficult for some people. Like, I suppose if you don't have any allegiance to a team, and the GAA is like it's there on your doorstep and then stretches up and up and up out.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of makes, I think that makes a degree of sense. I do think that's it's the way it grows, like, I suppose. That football tends to be more, or certainly more urban focused. Like, you look where the grounds are in towns. It's just kind of, but anyway.
Yeah.
If anybody has any thoughts on this, 0879-180-180 is the WhatsApp number.
Well, we were asking Henry Winter yesterday about David Beckham's free kick, of course. Is that the greatest moment for English football this century? What was the greatest moment for Irish football in the 21st century? Was it Shane Long's goal against Germany? That happened 10 years ago today.
That's McAteer Holland.
Which was the same, could be,
isn't it? Sure.
Which was the same day that Jurgen Klopp was appointed Liverpool manager. Would you believe those two things happened this day, 10 years ago, the 8th of October, 2015. What day of the week was that?
Shane Long, Germany.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, they say, with confidence.
Midweek, for
abandon.
Sure.
It was during the week, but it wasn't Wednesday, unfortunately. And I know people want this game to return. So here it is, live. Not even official. It's not even part of who gets it first. This is just part of the show now.
And it must have been a Tuesday.
It wasn't a Tuesday. You're going backwards.
Thursday.
You should be going forwards. It's a Thursday that landed. Hey. Phil Egan told me this yesterday. And I said, don't tell me the day of the week I'll get this. I was convinced that was a Monday.
Monday?
Shane Long hammering a pass, Manuel Neuer from Randolph's long kick. Could have sworn that was a Monday. But it's the same day anyway that Jurgen Klopp took over.
2015. I don't even know where I was in 2015. What were you doing?
You were in London.
No, I was back.
No, I was back. Your biography, yeah. London.
I was working in Tommy Hilfiger.
Were you?
No, I think I was in a hotel. I must have been in a hotel. Yeah, I was. I was in a hotel for that.
I didn't know you were there. That, I remember, that type of retail.
I remember a Saturday. Around that time, there's definitely a big match on a Saturday evening as well at one point. I know that sounds vague, but I feel like around that summer, around that time. Yeah, for sure.
Football match, a hurling match?
An Ireland match. Yeah, there was definitely one of those games that were on. I just remember going home anyway, but yeah.
So that was Thursday. I do remember, was it Gary Cottrell, that's Brave Sky Sports reporter, ringing the doorbell of Jurgen Klopp's residence. He's like, "Can we have a word, Jurgen?" And he was like, "It was Wednesday," and he was like, "Not today, I'm with my family." When he was all charming and jovial before he got a bit ratty as the years went by. And he was like, "But I'll talk to you tomorrow when it all starts." And it started on Thursday, the 8th of October, 2015. But yeah, Shane Long's goal, you're saying Jason McAteer, yeah, probably. But
I think so.
But
I don't
Shane
know
Long's goal,
I
was
dictatorial with it.
Mass surely. Cheers.
Robbie Keane.
Midweek.
Robbie Keane, Germany.
I think that.
So many options, guys. So many options. Anyway, that was up there.
What's yours?
Good question, yeah.
Wes, that was great.
Wes, yeah. Do you know what I liked that?
Yeah, Brady,
James McLean's winner against Wales in Cardiff. That was great.
Came to naught.
I suppose it's, you know, where you were and who you were with, isn't it? It's the feeling, really. You know, it's what makes you feel alive. Shane Long, I'd work the next day, you know. Yeah. So, you know, there's been a pocket marks of positivity for Ireland in the last 25 years. That was one of them.
That was a great night, though.
A decade ago today. Oh, remember Wes Hoolihan's performance, speaking of Belvo legends, like, that day against Germany. He wouldn't have stuck out badly in that German side, who were unbelievable on paper that day. What a performance. What's that? Was that Martin O'Neill?
Yeah.
Martin O'Neill. You know, and the football industry was, you know, was it worse then 10 years ago? And you'd still, every so often, you'd get these, cherry pick these great moments. And I'm left thinking, well, I said McLean against Cardiff, but it's one of the last great moments that's happened for sure. I mean, go through the next 10 years.
Oh, McLean Cardiff. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's very few candidates in the following 10 years from that moment.
Jesus, yeah. God. It's interesting. Maybe we need to focus more on that, acquiring young lads who are still available to us, but at younger ages.
Who are you thinking? Like,
I don't know. I don't know who the guy is. Who's the guy who's like, 16 now?
I think we're doing a bit of that, aren't we? There's this United fella that we haven't got the rights to just yet, but he's coming.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear about that. But because that's always something got to keep an eye out on.
Yeah, I don't know if we had got the players that we should have got, if we had
Rice
and Grealish. Jesus, we would have some side, like, all the same, you know. Wouldn't be talking about this crisis in football.
We've talked about, it's Jack Morehouse, isn't it? He has made his debut. It says here on his Wikipedia page. Back in March, all right.
Rice and Grealish.
Is that a friendly? It was a friendly. He's not in the squad.
Start giving out caps.
Yeah. So Little Mouse 75 was all over that Thursday, good man. I'll have a question that we'll cover every day of the week. Don't worry about that. Wednesday, you'll get your love. Friday as well. There's been no sign of it yet, but it's all to come, you know. Plenty more shows.
Friday's a rare one. Not much football on a Friday.
Well, it's not just consigned to football, of course. We had Sonny O'Sullivan yesterday with Katie Taylor. It's events, boy. Your events. So plenty of comments coming in. As a goal, Wes or Brady is the moment. Was it not the goal that qualified us for the 1988 Euros? And then Carter Leary says, it's this century, Adrian. Jesus. Well, I will take anything. We'll take anything
chat
positive.
Leases itself.
Dylan, look, there was a request for the day of the week game. Dylan, I hope you were listening there at that part, because that was sent a while ago. And just generally speaking, there is a bit of, not apathy, maybe a bit more ambivalence towards Irish football in the comments and the state of it. That's what I mean. Like, just kind of the whole thing is like, Irish football, the FAI, Jesus. And then if you take a second and talk about it, it's like, just a few tweaks here and there. Our grandkids' generation could benefit from it.
I think the only fear is that, like, it's not like the rest of the world is standing still.
No, exactly. That's the whole
that's
point.
The problem.
I think the whole, in this instance, comparison will well and truly be the thief of joy for Irish football.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're ever going to catch up with the rest of the world. It's just actually about developing a sustainable industry that people can make a living from. That would be a win. I think those days are long gone, the idea of catching up. Like, I mean, if you actually think about what would that take? I mean,
I don't mean catching up, but what would that take?
But,
the Joneses. I just mean, you know.
You just need to be proficient.
Not being outplayed by Armenia.
Very quickly, through the newspapers, Arsenal, I moved to Wembley as part of Emirates expansion. I didn't realise this, but Man United have 75,000 capacity, Spurs are 62, West Ham have 62, Liverpool have 61, Arsenal only the fifth highest capacity. After that, it's City, Everton, Newcastle and Sunderland at 48,000 are in the top 10 in England. Fit to travel, and it's a picture of Ferguson and Parrott. They're both going to Lisbon on Saturday, which yes, that they might both start, will they? Will they both start? I don't know. Maybe both have injuries, maybe neither starts. Troy to stop me. Troy Parrott says he's pushing to play on Saturday against Portugal. He was a pains to point out that he wasn't on the field against Armenia, which was fair enough. It was like he did say it wasn't the manager's fault, it was the player's fault. But I don't know, I wasn't there, what happened. God loves a Troyer is the back of the Star this morning. We haven't done the total losers comment from Stephen Gerrard. We might come back to that a little bit later on. The rugby, the major unions unite to ban R360 Rebels.
Just the Super League for rugby.
Yeah. I'm not entirely surprised that in this case, the Turkeys have decided to vote against Christmas. France, Scotland, Ireland, New Zealand, South Africa, Australia and Italy have said, Wales are like... look, lads, if you really want to go and get paid by somebody else, would that mean we wouldn't have to pay you?
Wales, like the Irish soccer of rugby.
We are to blame. Ireland players have to take responsibility for results. As Troy Parrott.
No, everyone.
Clip that, lads. Get that out.
Midfield remains the area of constant concern for Ireland, is the headline of Gavin Comiskey's piece, as Festi and Chidoze are...
What do you think is going to happen
meeting
on Saturday? Seriously,
backs to the wall.
I think a good performance and a valiant defeat.
That's best case scenario. That's what you think will happen.
No, best case would be somehow we get a draw. This would be what I think will happen. I think perversely we'll feel better about ourselves after Portugal than we did after Armenia.
Unless
there's the possibility of a hammering.
Yeah,
it's just more so, will Portugal take us that seriously?
Where are they at? They're obviously going to steamroll everything.
I think they're handy, aren't they? Yeah,
if they're not like guarantee. It's still too early to guarantee anything, is it? So there's still three games left after that, so there must be. So. Yeah, but
the only actual worry is Ronaldo, because he's so intent on getting that record. He wants to get that milestone, doesn't he? He's going to be like, this is great. I have a chance here to get a hat trick.
These jamokes. Yeah. I don't know what'll. Yeah.
Joe Neves is missing, so we're getting there.
Who's next on that
bit
power ranking?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.